Sorry, I didn't start that. Somebody else did. So I was just wondering, I thought, I have never seen anybody say that to anybody in a church service. But it fit. Amen. Would you silence your phone, please? We just want to start by saying thank you, everybody that helped us today. We asked just one little simple time, would you come in at 4:30? And I think we came in here at about 4:45, and there was people everywhere. Thank you, everybody. We're so blessed to have you here. It's wonderful. We have so many good things going on, and we just hope that you will just have a wonderful day. And we're going to start. I'm going to share a word in the book of, starting in the book of Galatians, chapter 3 and verse 13. Father, thank you for the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And let us all be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Last Wednesday night, I preached the message, Christmas star, the first Christmas star. This is the first Christmas tree, and this is just a short word about Jesus, the Savior of the whole world, the only one that could save you. There's only one name under heaven given to men by which they can be saved. It's the name of Jesus. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And as we look at that thought, it said, it refers back to as far as the Pentateuch, to Deuteronomy. We'll probably go there in a minute. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. I want to say that the work of Jesus on that cross, it was not by accident. He became a curse for you and me. He became a curse before the living God for you and me. And that means a lot when you really, really dig into all the way back to the book of Deuteronomy. Put up Deuteronomy 21 and chapter 21, verses 22 and 23. And if a man has committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night long upon the tree. You'll notice that's the way it was with Jesus. They just were so good about keeping the unimportant things about the law, but they wanted Jesus to be cursed. There's no doubt about it. Who? Religion. Religion wanted Jesus to be cursed. And I'm just going to say this. This is just my view. It's kind of like what they're doing with Donald Trump. They're trying to make it where he can never, ever run again. Now, our hope is in Jesus. But the Pharisees and the high priests, those in the priesthood, they did everything they could. They stirred up the crowd, and they wanted him crucified, and they wanted him to never, never be thought of anything again. But he's the Savior of my soul. You know it's saying, Jesus, Jesus, he's the Savior of my soul. He's the Savior of my soul. And like the Apostle Paul, I am not ashamed of Jesus and the gospel of Jesus. And I know you're not either. But it didn't work. In fact, in the book of Corinthians, the word says, if the princes of this world would have understood what it meant to scrutinize Jesus as fully as they did, they would have never done it. Because what they did, they loosed the power of the cross on that generation all the way up to this generation. He's the only way that you can be saved. There's only one name under heaven given to men by which they can be saved. It's the name of Jesus. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And he just is. If a man has committed a sin worthy of death and he be to be put to death. I'm not sure. Thou hang him on a tree. His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is cursed of God. That thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Okay? So Jesus was taken down. Pontius Pilate marveled that he died so soon, that he died so quickly. And the thing is, these are the words that Jesus said, the last words from the cross, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He didn't have to fight over it. Which of you, by whatever you do, can add one more cubit to your life, the word of God says. It is appointed unto every person once to die, and then comes the judgment. Now, the word teaches this, that you can add years to your life by being a certain way. You can have years taken away from your life by being a certain way. And so the best way is this here. Just be ready every day. I dare you to tell the Lord every day, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I'm a child of God, and that's what I want. And I want you to correct me. And I want you to protect me. And I want you to direct me. That's what I want. I want all of it. And I dare you to start adding that in your life and get a peace like you've never known. Just trusting the Lord. I'm asking you every time I come up here to trust God. To trust him with your kids, to trust him with your life, with your finances, with everything. Trust God. Learn to trust God. Let that be a daily learning exercise, to trust God. It's going to become important. You know, as I was listening just a few moments ago about Jack and Rocky, my time is closer than it was 50 years ago. And, you know, I'm ready. I'm ready to leave here or I'm ready to stay here. And on my good days, it doesn't matter one diddly flip to me which way it is. See. Now, that wasn't half as bad as, what was that, Jesus?
Anal.
I said, she didn't just, now tell me really. Now, we don't pride ourselves in speaking. We're just liable to say anything we're thinking about when we're up here. And when my daughter came by me and touched me, did she really say anal? Well, he said, she sure did. Now, I kind of like that. What I mean by that is, to a certain extent, we should talk about what we're... Now, Paul and Nancy, she really did that. You can ask her after the service. I don't know what it brought it on. I guess somewhere in life I've been a real butthole. I don't remember, but I don't know.
Excessive attention to detail.
Oh.
Which you are.
Which I am, but doesn't mean anything else than I thought it might. Oh. And I just want to know, what did you do with my little Lulu? We better find out what that is. Yeah, take her to the doctor. Did we already pray for her real good? Okay. I'm preaching about the first Christmas tree. Okay? And Jesus was the first and the only important one, and whatever else I can say. His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him the same day. For he that is hanged is cursed of God. And I want you to know that God the Father, that was not a mistake. He caused his son. He broke covenant with his son. You must understand the essence of the cross. Jesus was not afraid to die or to be beaten up. Jesus Christ had never throughout eternity been separated from God. I and the Father are one. That's what he said. But had never, never, never been in a situation. And in order to restore covenant with mankind, which is you and I, he had to break covenant with his son. And that's what's so important about the first Christmas tree. And Satan and the Jews, they wanted Jesus to be a historical curse to the Jewish people. But he became the Savior, the healer, none other like him. And as it says in Corinthians, if they would have understood the implications of what it meant to do what they did to Jesus, they would have never crucified him. Now that's what it says in the word there. And rightly so. If Christ is your Savior, you've got the best of this life. And until you have Christ as your Savior, you don't have the best. I want to believe everybody in here is a Christian, is a believer, is saved. Amen? How many of you here, you consider yourself saved? Good. I want you to. Someone far more important than me wants you to. Consider yourself saved. You don't have to purchase it or beg for it or hold your mouth just right or whatever. You just have to accept Christ for who he is, the gift of God to us. I want to read Matthew 24, verses 21 through 35, and I'm trying to get to the true meaning of Christmas. Matthew 24, 21 through 35, for then shall be great tribulation. These are the words of Christ, and he's talking about the time I think we're in. Brother Larry mentioned it this morning in Sunday school, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall it be again. And except those days be shortened, I want you to hear something. what's coming on the face of the earth is so horrific that it could utterly destroy all mankind. That's how serious, as we sit here, and as Brother Larry said, and I have to go along with it, we have to remember 2 Chronicles 7:14. When they dedicated the temple, Solomon mentioned these words, "If my people, which are called by my name, will do four things, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face instead of always seeking my hand, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal your land. I will heal your family. I will heal your life if my people." See, the hands, the destiny of this world, and I remember going to Guatemala and telling these people there, the destiny of this world is not in the hands of world's armies or certain people or certain groups. The destiny of the world is in the hands of believers that will take God and be who we're supposed to be. It doesn't say if everybody. It says if my people, the ones that are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. And it doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. It's what you will do. If you will, if you will love God in that way, if you will do everything yourself to put yourself in the hands of God and keep you and your family there and be as Joshua when he said, look, y'all, everybody's got a choice. You know, we talk about a lot of the current issues here. And I mean, what can we do about, this is not a Christian nation. Now, if you were up here, you could say whatever you wanted. But see, it's not a Christian nation. No, we're living like a bunch of heathens. And that's just the truth. And I'm talking about the church a little bit too much also. But you know what this is? This is in this Bible. When this Bible was written, when the New Testament, the letters, the Gospels, they had the same issues that we've got now. And you know what they did? The church thrived. Because the church doesn't thrive because everybody is doing right. The church thrives when God's got our attention and we're doing the best we can. Nobody's perfect. Everybody messes up. I've never met a person that didn't mess up. I've had people that have attacked me because they've caught me in a fault. And you know what? You're attacking the wrong one, man. You know what I am? Forgiven. Forgiven. By the grace of God, if I died today, I'm going to heaven. Not because I'm better than anybody else, but because I know what it means to be forgiven. That's why every Wednesday night we have our communion service. It's very important. Water baptism and communion, the only two spiritual exercises in the new covenant. So, then if any man, verse 23, shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, don't go out there looking for him. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. And except those days be shortened. Could I have that back for a minute? Fellas? Good. All right, I'm going to read verse 22. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake. See, for my children, says God, I'm going to shorten those days. I think we're going to see things worse and worse and worse. I mean, it has to be for Christ to come. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here's a Christ. Okay, now where are we here, boys? Are you taking me to... Yeah, give me those next five verses, please. And I'm preaching a message about the first Christmas tree. Could I have verses 31 through 35, please? And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable from the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer's near. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away. Get ready. Stay ready. Be ready at all times. And you know what? Isn't it great that we could have so much fun and be Christians? And I mean, how much fun are some folks really having? I mean, I don't know. And I couldn't talk about the first Christmas tree without talking about this next fact. In Matthew 25, verses 31 through 40, if I could have them, please. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory with all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, you blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Give me several more of those. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. Let me tell you something. Many years ago, this is what I decided I was going to try to do. I was going to try to do what nobody else was willing to do. I was going to try to take Jesus at his word. I was going to raise kids that weren't mine. I was going to start programs that still go to this day, like our nursing home program and so many other things. I just said in my heart, I don't have all the etiquette and everything else, but at least I want to touch God's heart. And I and the Father are one, and I love him. And the most greatest thing I have is that I have the Lord as my Savior. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungry and fed thee? Or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took you in? or naked and clothe thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and shall say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it to me. Christmas is about going the second mile for somebody that can never pay you back. That's Christmas. Some people have been made to feel like by society that they don't have anything to give. I beg to differ. I felt like that once, and I just began to give. I began to do what I just felt would touch God's heart, and you know what? It worked. And you know what? He began to do more for me that touched my heart. And there's nobody that I love more than the Lord. Not a family member, not my health, not anything down here below. I love being a child of God. I wake up every morning. I'm a friend. I'm a dad. I'm a neighbor. I'm an enemy. I'm so many things. But before any of that, I'm a son. I'm a son of God. And I love being a son. And I hope you can, if you've come in here tonight and you're a child of God, you've got it all. You have it all. I have one more place I want to go. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21. And I've just preached a little bit about the first Christmas tree as I see it. And just think, you know, my heart leaped when I drove up here and I said, why is everybody here? And I remember I asked them if they would come early. And there was a bunch of you that had your hands up. And that's exactly what you did. God bless you. God bless you. That's what we should do. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with being proud of your church as long as we don't put anybody else's church down. Because frankly, my dear, we don't have to do that. We don't have to put anybody. We don't. Amen? We just need to be good to one another and good to our enemies and good to our friends. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are beginning to pass away. That's the correct. They're beginning to pass away. Behold, all things are beginning to become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses against them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, that's what God's doing. You know what? God wants to use you to do that. My words are just about coming to an end. I have got it down pat. I can preach it. Bam! You think we got 20 more minutes? Heck no. We're about to be through with here. Now, let me just appeal to you. My preaching is done for tonight. And as we close out 2022, you'd say, Angelo, I want to know God like I've never known him before, because I got a feeling that's all that's really going to count real soon. If that's you, stand. Father, in Jesus' name, I'm standing first. I want to know you like I've never known you before. I want to right all the wrongs in my life. I want to be kinder and better and smarter and sharper and know the word and do the word. and help people to be encouraged. Help us. That's what we want, Lord, tonight. We want to be ornaments on the first Christmas tree. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. And everyone said amen. Amen. God bless you. Sister, daughter, Kelly, come up here. Don't ever call me that name again. No, I'm just kidding. You call me whatever you want.